Very warm welcome to all the listeners of Radio Free Voices. This is your host Ahmed Abbasi, broadcasting from my home base studio in Pakistan city of Lahore, 26th of October. It's been almost 2 months since we came up with an episode. Regret the delay, but anyhow, we are back, and today we have a very it's not special, it's more of a worrisome episode that I am broadcasting today, and it's something which is ongoing, and for that we will be discussing the entire episode, how it has come to this stage and what are the implications. You have seen the title, it is the French publication, the satirical mag Charlie Hebdo, and the debate surrounding freedom of speech and the way the leadership, especially President Macron, the way he has sided with the way he sees the things and its implication in a broader term. This is what we are discussing today. So, firstly, as our name of the podcast, it's Radio Free Voices. So our objectivity revolves around the fact that we stand for those events in the past, in the present, which duly require a voice that needs to be highlighted, and for that you will find a variety of episodes in our catalog, and this is why I remain short of saying it is a special episode, because what we are debating today is a form of freedom of speech which has become so lethal that on and off things have really gone worst. We saw the episode in 2015 where it is regretted that 12 of the very intelligent brains at Charlie Hebdo, they lost their lives when they were attacked by two brothers, Saeed and Sharif Kouachis, and now even then in 2015, earlier in 2006, then we see in 2011, and now in 2020, Charlie Hebdo has again remained firm to its what they feel as their values of freedom of speech, while they see it impacting in a very, very negative manner. So let's start the debate first with what is freedom of speech, how it is becoming so lethal in this one episode, which is Charlie Hebdo. So, broadly, freedom of speech is your right to say what you feel. However, like every liberty or like every right, there is a duty. It's not a one-way ticket. So, if your freedom of speech ends up hurting someone's sentiments, someone's feeling, someone's faith, that is by all means, it can be a freedom of speech, but there is no responsibility bound to it. So freedom of speech with responsibility versus freedom of speech based on insensitivity and lack of tolerance. This is where we find this entire episode. unfortunately, what President Macron has done is he has gone to the extent by linking this freedom of expression as something which is being targeted through these actions, while entirely sidelining the fact that this freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. You just cannot go out and start uttering anything without considering its consequences. Consequences to the other persons who have the ears to listen to it, who have the eyes to see it. It is something which has to be taken into account in any civilized world, in any civilized society, and Charlie Hebdo cannot watch itself away from this fact. Time and time it has been said, freedom of speech, when it hurts, it is specifically targeting something, it cannot be shielded under the expression of it's their right to speak, to draw something while it's hurting the sentiments. No religion, by its genuine standing, has promoted violence, has promoted bloodshed, has promoted intolerance. That's not in the religions. It is how religions are interpreted, they are perceived, they are used, they are made to work in certain circumstances. No religion teaches hate. That's an understood thing. If you come to Islam, those who have read it, that's very important. It's Muslim, non-Muslims. You just see around the history of Islam. People have researched. They are from all faith, and they have concluded that the fundamentalism, the extremism, the way it is practiced in this present century, it has its root in political Islam. It is entirely different. It is either for some political goals, gains, monetary goals, or at the end of the day, it's being misinterpreted by those who are practicing it. And on the other side, the so-called liberated world has never shied away from giving them excuses to do that. You take the case of Palestine. Since 1948, it's recorded in every document. Now, almost 70 years later, the original residents have become are inhabiting the largest human cage, as it is called, considering the entire world, the liberated world, the liberal world, the developed world, supporting Israel unconditionally without seeing the consequences. It is by bit and pieces tearing apart the very existence of a nation. Palestinians, they have totally taken them out of the map. This is what they are doing. You go to other places, the Balkans war in the heart of Europe in 1995, based on their religion, 8,000 of them were slaughtered in just one or two days at Srebrenica. That's recorded right under the eyes of UN and the NATO. Everyone was watching. Later, a group of 20 guys who gave ample chances to every agency in America that they were up to something, they had all the clues, still they were allowed to fly, they were allowed to hijack planes, and in the aftermath, invasions occurred many a thousand miles away in Afghanistan, in Iraq, ending up generations of Muslims. The same repetition you see in Libya, the same repetition in other areas, and it's going on. But that's reality. So there is ample evil from both sides, which is being witnessed in this part of the history. Unfortunately, we are witness to it. So this Macron's stand of freedom of expression as its core value, without considering what it is in terms of the content, so that is utterly irresponsible leadership. It's not leadership. It's by all means a base for something which we all cannot imagine, which all literary minds have worked to stop. That great divide, the fourth lines. You can go to Samuel Huntington's thesis or many others, the clash of civilizations, whatever you call it. It's written on the wall. There are limits to everything, every liberty. But if it is not taken into account, that is something which is very, very bad. You are sowing the seeds of hatred, of segregation, of being targeted to a community, and still believing that things will go very well for everyone. That doesn't happen. Peace has to be in a right manner. Existence has to be on equal terms. It doesn't happen like this. So the case of Charlie Hebdo, by linking it to freedom of expression, it is the worst excuse we have come across. I sit on the event, that terrorist attack in 2015. I said beautiful brains were lost, very creative brains were lost. However, unfortunately, instead of working toward 821 million people living in hunger, or how people are being ripped off their existence across the world, it's equal everywhere. It's happening in the West, it's happening in developing countries. They specifically targeted a religion, and not only that religion, a very sensitive matter in that religion, that is the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. If you're a Muslim, you know it has significance, just like for other religion like Christians. There are values which are not to be taken for granted. People's sentiments are attached to it. I recall a few years back, I guess if I'm right, Mel Gibson came up with a film that was Passion of the Christ. It had certain things which were objected all across the globe, and sitting in Pakistan, that was the first time I saw this, that the entire film, its circulation in the country was entirely banned, and retails which were somehow, they were able to smuggle those films, that was the era before YouTube and everything, they were raided, and it was made sure by the religious affairs ministry that as it hurts the sentiments of Christians, so it will not be aired anywhere in Pakistan. This is how you respect religion. While on the other hand, you keep committing follies, you keep committing these insensitive acts, and keep defending yourself as patron of freedom of speech, while you can be patrons or the forces spearheading freedom of speech, but by no means you're the forces who are tolerant, who are sensitive to others' feeling. And unfortunately, the very, very, very small portion which is being misled by certain quarters, again, you can debate a lot about their roots, where it comes from. These are the same ones who are sometimes in the White House called equivalent to the founding fathers. When they are serving their causes, they are given dollars like anything, weapons, while they're serving their purposes. And when they return with evil to the homelands, then they are labeled as part of that community, Muslim community, if you take out the records, if they have done the barbaric acts, the tyranny, 90% of their victims are fellow Muslims. By no means they represent anything, but continuously you are feeding them. Continuously you are feeding them. The case is right in front of you. I will elaborate it. The Kouachi brothers, who were responsible for the attack on Charlie Hebdo back in 2015, which killed 12 of the Charlie Hebdo team members, they had their entire roots in the French system. And if you see how eyes were closed towards their activities, towards their radicalization, it's something which reminds you of the 2001 case of the hijackers of 9/11. Like, on every step they were doing everything which will make them suspect, and nobody bothered to check them. Otherwise, if it was any other case, even a illegal immigrant, he would have been caught by all the strength, but they were not caught. So the case of Sharif and Said Kouachi, that will reveal a lot if you stay with me as I scroll through the record. So alright, so the radicalization of the Kouachi brother is tracked to 2003, alright, and there was a fellow with the name of Farid who was at that time leading the recruitment drive for the father of the ISIS, Zarqawi. He was there in France, in the city of Paris, and he was under the eyes of the French authorities. And he was recruiting, and Sharif, he came in contact with him, and his teaching made this boy, Sharif Kouachi, to equip himself for fighting Americans, as he would claim later during interrogation that he was really fired up because of the way US was committing atrocities in Iraq, especially the Abu Ghraib prison and these sort of events, and this made him to foresee fighting US in Iraq. And while he was about to board the flight, he was stopped and by the French authorities. Of course, they were keeping an eye on the entire network. They were aware of their activities, so he was stopped at the airport. And to some account, he said he was relieved because he never wanted to go. He was going more because he had committed, and he feared that if he walks away right now, he will be seen as someone who has left the cause in the middle. And when he was caught, he was, to most account, relieved that he was caught. All right. So, upon being stopped from flying to Iraq, he was jailed for, I believe, 2 years, and that was the radicalization nursery where he ended up. And the junior Kouachi, while serving his time in prison, he came across one of the most radicalized mind. Imagine the strategy. The war on terror or this extremism was at its peak, timeline 2005, 2006, 7, 8, those times, and you are placing a suspect, not a suspect but a convict, because he was on his way to Iraq, in a place, in a prison which is already infested with radical minds. And by all accounts, he became too firm on his actions while being in the jail. This is where he was, and later when he went free, he never returned to normal life. By all means, he was involved in one way or the other. So much so, in 2010, he was again put in prison. He was under investigation for a jailbreak attempt to free some senior member of the Al-Qaeda. The two of his accomplices, they were jailed, but he was set free, strangely, for lack of evidence, while all evidence were pointing to that place. If you see the other brother, Saeed Kolachi, the case becomes even more interesting. Now, Saeed, although under very strict watch, to some account, twice or even more than that, he went to Yemen while Al-Qaeda in Arabian Peninsula had its strongest footholds in Yemen. He traveled to Yemen first time around about 2009 on a student visa, and later to train as a jihadi. And the Yemeni intelligence, by all accounts, says that once he was there, he met Anwar al-Awlaki, who was the most wanted person. This is the same timeline when he was finally killed in a US drone attack. This is the same timeline the senior Kolachi, Saeed Kolachi, was in Yemen meeting him. And the Yemeni, followed by the American intelligence, duly tipped the French that these two brothers were real hot. They were in contact, they are up to something. Not only that, Saeed managed to come back to France. By 2014, there was no surveillance on both of the brothers. Considering all the episodes that have gone by, they had a declared track record of being radical. They were just set free. And what does that mean? There can be two things. Either they were set loose just to do something which can be used later on for something of a greater significance that we don't know. Maybe somebody out there was wise. Well, not wise. He was evil genius to draw the wedge between certain segment of French population, or they were just thinking that some miracle will happen and these guys will not do something for which they have gone all the way to Yemen, and that was to train themselves as the jihadis. And still, by 2014, they were off all the grids. There was no surveillance, nothing. And in 2015, they walk into the Charlie Hebdo office armed to the teeth, the arms most sophisticated being acquired through the underworld, and in to some account less than 5,000 euros. And then in downtown Paris, you see they're going on a rampage, calmly killing. And the different accounts, like they left the woman by saying we don't harm the woman, and otherwise killing everyone from the team who came across. So these are fruits for thought for everyone. What was happening there? Is Macron able to describe, or the French authorities are able to describe, that they provided every platform to the Kolachi brothers to do this thing, while encouraging Charlie Hebdo to keep a track of its insensitivity, keep doing that repeatedly, and igniting the already radicalized segments of Muslims, calling them Muslim will be a grave misunderstanding of these radicals. They were given ample reasons to do what they did, and then when this is done, it becomes a top policy that actually we have got problem here. This is the same through entire Europe. While Syria was burning, ISIS were on a rampage against everyone, you see scores and scores of young boys, girls traveling under the watchful eyes, so-called watchful eyes of the best surveillance agencies, to Syria, doing the most evil things there, staying there and in some cases making it back undetected. That doesn't happen. And if it happens, then it means there is something severely wrong. There is something, some ploy going, some plot in the minds which are using it for some very evil work. This shouldn't be happening. So first of all, you come up with a version that freedom of expression mean insulting every sentiment, sensitivity that comes your way, still defending it as your core value. And later on, the real threats who are moving all around you, just ignore them, just take the eyes off them. And in less than 8 months, 9 months, you end up with a tragedy like the 2015 massacre in Charlie Hebdo. Unfortunately, they have again done that in 2020. The only problem is, earlier they never had this outward support. Just to say, in 2006, Jacques Chirac, who was then president of France, he went against Charlie Hebdo. By all means, that they have done something which will ignite the emotions of the Muslim community in France, and he literally sided against them, Charlie Hebdo, for their irresponsibility towards publication. Whereas this time, Mr. Macron, the former investment banker at Rothschild, and many other notable policy venues, he has totally gone to the context that somehow it seems that he is promoting this thing by giving a clean chit to those who are continuously hurting the sentiments of the people. So as a promoter, as a patron, as someone who safeguards through this platform the global free voices, people who do not have the medium to speak, or things that have happened in the past, we do not have any audience unless we dig them and bring them to light for the next generation to see how inhuman acts were done, from Vietnam till Srebrenica till Kashmir. You will find all in our coverage. This is truly sad, unbelievable. We have progressed, we have reached the moons, we are all set to reach the Mars. All we have not done is to understand each other. Mutual respect, tolerance, respect for each other's values. This is very important. That's it from our end for this episode. Regretted. We do not want a world like this where one segment deliberately targets the other segments by hurting their faith, their sentiments, their beliefs. This is too sad. Log on to more episodes. I duly foresee that the frequency will be again of the same level that we had before. Loads of things are there. Till then, we wish you a very safe time living through this COVID era. Look after yourself, take your precautions, and make sure you remain sensitive and respect what other feels or have faith in. This is what a society is, where everybody cares for the other. You have liberty, but when your liberty starts interfering into my domain, then of course it's not a liberty, it's an intrusion. Violence by any mean, by anyone, by in any circumstances, is the last and most evil resort. Most evil. There is no place for it. No place for it. But at least what we can do is, we shouldn't provide platform where certain unripe minds can easily be deviated from the true path. This is what the message is: peace, love, and prosperity. Goodbye from the platform of Radio Free Voices. Thank you.